All right, Rabosai, good morning. Let us begin. So we have a beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us today. We are picking up at the Mishnah Yud Zayin on days 17b. Today's daf is Yud Ches 18. We thank all of our sponsors. We thank David and Helene Brenner for dedicating the shir this morning in memory of David's father, Yitzchak ben Nachman. We thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Adjud, Lerner Mishpacha, for dedicating all of the Shiurim and Drushas this month in memory of Mrs. Dina Lerner, Gerber, Dina Bas Yehuda. Our week of learning sponsors, Paul and Kathy Pollack, in memory of Paul's grandparents, Zachariah Ben Zachariah and Dina Bas Pesach, Jack Bennett, for dedicating the Shiurim this week in memory of Captain Dirar Barashi, who served and died as deputy company commander in the 51st Battalion of the Golani Brigade. We thank the families who dedicated a day of learning, Adam and Leslie Rosen, in honor of the fifth yahrzeit of Adam's grandfather, Teddy Rosenzweig, Tudris ben Shlomo Zalman, and a Daf Yomi sponsor this morning, Michael Leichter, in honor of his wife, Rivki, his brother-in-law, Morty, and sister-in-law, Malki, who are ER nurses working on the front lines, and all other healthcare providers working tirelessly on the front lines. May you and your families merit continued strength and health, and may we merit to see a Yeshua very soon. An additional sponsorship by Michael and Rivki Leichter in honor of Bryna Tusk's and Aryeh Nierenberg's wedding. Mazel tov to Bryna's parents, Morty and Malki Tusk, and the extended mishpacha. May the couple's home be filled with shalom, Torah, joy, laughter, and health. May be zocha to celebrate many more simchas together. So we thank all of our beautiful sponsors. We hope that all of the neshamas have an aliyah. We hope that we join in thanking all of our incredible healthcare providers, our doctors, our nurses, and everyone else who are working really around the clock in all of our communities to be able to ensure the health of the greater community of mankind. And of course, we wish a very special mazel tov to the Chasana Kala, to Bryna, and to Aryeh, whose Chasana is occurring today. We'll send out the live stream information for the Chasana as well. So with that, let us begin. I want to thank those of you who pointed out to me that I skipped two lines in the Gemara. I appreciate it, and it gave me personal simcha to know that, you know, sometimes you wonder what's happening online on the other side of things. So I was happy to see that Baruch Hashem. Again, so I appreciate that. Meishi pointed it out to me. Dr. Gavan pointed it out to me. So let me just go back and read those lines, because Chas V'Shalom, in 7.5 years from now, well, less than that, I don't want anyone saying that our CMHS is deficient, because at the end of the day, we missed two lines in Shabbos. Shabbos, one of the 18 enactments that we had spoken about, or that I did not speak about, was the following. I'll just read it. V'idach amra b'chiyah bar'am mishrei de'ulo, af mishe hichshik lo ba'derech, no sin kiso l'nachri bo ba'yom gazur. Shabbos, another one of the enactments was as follows, that if a person is traveling, and Shabbos is about to start, so on a technical level, a person is supposed to take out his wallet and leave it by the street, leave it wherever he can. The reality is, most people are not going to do that. Most people are not going to go ahead and just simply put their wallet by the side of the road and just leave it and just take such a loss. So what Chazal allowed us to do is to actively give the wallet to a Gentile, to a non-Jew, and instruct the non-Jew to carry it for me on Shabbos. Even though, again, this is Amir al-Nahri, this is instructing a Gentile to potentially perform halacha, Chazal felt that this was a much better option than me ending up carrying it myself. Again, we're going to learn more about Amir al-Nahri in the coming weeks as well. So with that, let us begin the Mishnah. Beautiful sugi ahead of us today. Beishamai Omrim, Ein shorin diyo v'saman v'karshina el k'dei sheshirin v'od yom. Beishamai says, one is not permitted to soak. Diyo is ink. Samanim are spices. Karshinin is vetch. Shabbos says, so samanim, spices. So diyo is ink. That's obvious ink. Samanim are spices that were used for dyeing. And karshinin was some type of plant that was soaked for animal feed. Vetch is the English definition. So Beishamai says, if you're going to soak these items on Erev Shabbos, you could only soak them if the soaking process will be finished before Shabbos starts. You may not go ahead and have these items soak into Shabbos itself. Ubeisilamatirim, Beisila, on the other hand, says, no, not a problem. As long as you began the process before Shabbos started, the process could continue into Shabbos itself, and it is not a problem. Next, Beis Shammai Omrim, a nosin unin shal pishton lo sochatanor. So we'll say what they used to do is they used to take bundles of flax, and I guess the way you process flax is you dry it out. So how would you dry out flax? You would put it in a large oven. You take a bundle of flax, you put it in the oven. So Beis Shammai says, if you want to dry out your flax, you must go ahead and put it in the oven with enough time that it is finished, it is dried out before Shabbos starts. Again, if you're going to dye wool, so the way you would dye wool is you would place the wool into a vat of dye. You could do that on Friday, but as long as the process is finished before Shabbos starts. Beisila matirin. Beisila says, no, it's okay as long as you began the process. Before Shabbos, halacha lemaisa, you can go ahead and that process could continue into Shabbos. Beis Shammai Omrim, in parsim mitzudos chayiv avosu dagim elakadesh yetzid mei ba'odyom. Similarly, Beis Shammai says, if you want to set traps to trap animals, so halacha lemaisa, one must set those traps so that they trap the animals you want before Shabbos starts. Before Shabbos starts, Ubeisila Matirim. But Beisila says, no, even if the traps are going to trap the animals on Shabbos, it's okay. As long as you put the process in place on Friday, it's totally fine. So the Gemara goes weiter. So the Gemara says, Beis Shammai Omrim, in mochel le nachri, vein ton in imo, vein magbien alav, ela kedei sheyagia lemakom karov. So Beis Shammai says, you cannot sell something to a Gentile. Right. Similarly, again, when I finish the sentence, vein ton animo, you can't help him load his donkey, and you can't help him put stuff on his shoulder, unless, of course, you're doing so early enough on Friday afternoon that he has the ability to reach his intended destination. Now, the truth is, we'll see actually what that means. Ela kedei sheyagia lemakom karov means that, you know, he could get to his intended destination before Shabbos. Ubeisila matirin, Beisila says, ultimately, again, you are permitted to do this. So we'll say, let's just talk about this. I'm going to pause here for just a second. So obviously, you begin to see what's happening over here. Beis Shammai is of the opinion that you can't have your utensils doing malacha on Shabbos. According to Beis Shammai, even if you put a process in place on Friday afternoon, no malacha could go into Shabbos. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, holds that that is not correct. Beis Hillel holds that halacha lemaisa, I can't do malacha on Shabbos, but if I start processes on Erev Shabbos, those processes can continue into Shabbos itself. So that's these first cases. So that's the soaking case. That's the setting of the traps case. Beis Shammai says, whatever you're going to do, it's got to be done before Shabbos starts. Your utensils cannot do something that you can't do on Shabbos. Beis Hillel says, no, I can't do malacha on my utensils as long as I started the process before Shabbos. It's totally fine. Now, this last piece about transacting with the Gentile, loading stuff on his donkey, and ultimately going ahead and helping the Gentile load stuff on it, is the concern is, Beis Shammai says, if people see the Gentile traveling on Shabbos, they're going to think that he is performing business on behalf of the Jew. That's Beis Shammai's concern. And Beis Hillel says, for whatever the reason, that's no concern. Again, we're going to go through each of these cases, obviously. Weiter. Beis Shammai Omrim, Einosn Oros La'abdon, V'lo Kelim L'ko Beis Nachri, Ela Kedei She'asu Mi Be'od Yom. Beis Shammai says, you can't give hides to the tanner, nor can you give other articles of clothing to the launderer, unless, of course, there's enough time on Friday for them to get the job done. So you can't go ahead and give them these items late on Friday afternoon in a way that is going to cause them to go ahead and do this on Shabbos. Ubekulon, and in all of these cases, Beis Hillel Matirin. So I'll say this is kind of like a catch-all phrase. In all of these cases, Beis Hillel's standard approach is, as long as you are not doing malacha on Shabbos, it is not a problem. The fact that the Gentile may be doing malacha, the fact that your utensils may be doing malacha, that's not a problem for the Jew on Shabbos. Obviously, we're going to have to go ahead and define the parameters of this. So Beis Hillel permits all of these aforementioned activities as long as you have begun them while it is still daytime. So Reb Shimon Gamliel says, something very interesting. In my father's home, they used to go ahead and give our white articles of clothing. So apparently Rashi says over here, Klei Lavan, Shukasha Lechabes, V'tzorich Gimel Yomim U'machmirin Al Atzman Kibes Shamai. So interestingly enough, so apparently white articles, white garments, are very difficult to launder. So because they're very difficult to launder, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, we used to go ahead and give it to the launderer at least 3 days before Shabbos. So Rashi points out that Rav Shimon Gamliel was saying, we were machmir like Beis Shammai, right? Beis Shammai holds that halacha l'maisa, you cannot go ahead and give it to the Nochri, you know, in a way that he's going to do malacha on Shabbos. So therefore, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, we were careful to always give the Nochri our white articles of clothing 3 days before Shabbos, so that he would have more than enough time to launder the garments before the start of Shabbos. So the Gemara goes right there. The Gemara says, v'shaven elu v'elu shetorn in koras beis habad ve'igul v'hagat. So we'll see this later on in the Gemara, that halacha l'maisa, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that what can you do? You could put the wine, you could put the grapes underneath the press and the olives underneath the press on Friday, even though the process is going to continue and unfold over the course of Shabbos. So this is very interesting. We'll have to see that. I understand Beis Hillel's position. Why Beis Shammai allows this, we'll have to see Meretz Hashem in the Gemara. Good, Abba Say, so here we go. So first of all, the Gemara begins with a technical question. Man tana nesinas mayim l'dio zohi shriyasa. So we'll say, remember, let's analyze for a little bit. Let's go back to the first part of the Mishnah. In the first case of the Mishnah, so we had a situation of you're soaking something. For example, so let's say you're making ink. How do you make ink? You're putting in water, you're putting in different spices or herbs, and when you soak that all together, that creates ink. We'll say, what's the problem with creating ink on Shabbos? So the assumption is that this is a din of lush, of kneading. You're taking different things together and you're creating something out of it. So it's what's called lisha, so it's called kneading. So the Gemara is pointing out something very interesting over here. Remember, when we think about the malacha of lush, of kneading, so how do you imagine it? On a very simple level, you're taking water, you're taking flour, and you're kneading a dough. What's interesting over here, the Mishnah is explaining, is that apparently one could violate the malacha of kneading of lush even by just introducing ingredients together. So you add water and you add the herbs. And even though, again, I'm not in that water, like, you know, mashing everything together. Yet that's called lush. So says the Gemara. So whose opinion is this? That just putting ingredients together, even without actively kneading them, is the malacha of lush, is the malacha of kneading. Amar Rabbi Yosef Rebbe. It's Rebbe. Because what does Rebbe say? Here we go. If one person on Shabbos adds flour and one person adds water, Rabbi says the person who added the last ingredient is going to be chayiv for the malacha of lush, is going to be chayiv ultimately again for the malacha of kneading on Shabbos. So you see over here that according to Rabbi, even though again no one is actively kneading anything, but yet, again, the act itself of adding ingredients together, by definition, is the malacha. So the Gemara says, therefore, the Mishnah reflects the view of Rebbe, to which Rabbi Yossi says, Eino chayiv ad shiyigbol. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you're only chayiv for kneading until ultimately, again, you actively knead different items together. Amar li Abaye. So therefore, Abaye, the Gemara wants to suggest that our Mishnah, which seems to indicate that just by introducing together water and spices, even without actively kneading them, you will be chayav for the malacha of lush. That is, in fact, the opinion of Rebbe. To which the Gemara says, Amar li Abaye, v'dilma ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yosi ella bekemach the bar gibel hu. Avadil delav bar gibel hu. To which the Gemara says, well, maybe not. Maybe Rabbi Yossi only holds his position that you're only chayef for lush when you actively knead things together. When you go ahead and you have things which are kneadable, like water and flour are kneadable. So that's, I understand, maybe that's what Rabbi Yossi says, you're only going to be chayef if halacha lamaisa, you actively knead them. However, aval dio de lav bar gibel hu emel chayiv. But when it comes to ink, so what's remembering again, how do you make ink? You introduce water, you introduce herbs or spice herbs, and you let them soak, and that creates ink. In other words, there is no act of kneading necessary. Maybe in that case, even Rabbi Yossi would agree, therefore, that just going ahead and putting everything together is in fact the malacha of lush, is in fact the malacha of kneading. To which the Gemara says, lo, sagadai ton disanyo, echa nosin es ha'efer, ve'echa nosin es ha'mayim ha'acharon chayev divrei Rebbe. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda omer ad shi yigbo. So we'll say, so we have another brayso. What does the brayso say? If one goes in and introduces efer, now we'll say, now the assumption over here is that efer means ashes. Now, ashes and water is not something that can be kneaded together into a solid mass. So what happens if you have ashes and water and you mix them, meaning you put them together? So again, if one person added the ashes, one person added the water, so Rebbe Lishitaso holds that one violates the malacha of lush as soon as one places ingredients together. Once you place it together, you're chayef, even if there's no act of kneading. Therefore, in Rebbe's model, whoever adds the last ingredient will always be chayef. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Achi. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you won't be chayef ultimately again until you knead them. Now understand that ashes and water is not really something that is kneadable, in other words, it doesn't create a solid mass if you knead them together. Yet Rabbi Yossi still says in this case that halacha lamaisa, you're only chayef for lush if you in fact engage in some active act of kneading. To which the Gemara says, one second, but deal with my afer. Maybe it's not, maybe the word is not afer, but rather what Rabbi Yossi say, afar. Oh, so what's afar? Afar is dirt. So we'll say, remember again, dirt and water does create a kneadable mass. When I said kneadable, I mean like with a K, right? Does create a kneadable mass. Maybe that's what it's talking about. And that's where Rabbi Yossi says like this, if you go ahead and you mix water and dirt, say, you're only going to be chayav if what? If you create a solid mass, a kneadable mass, to which the Gemara says, Vatanya. The Gemara says, Vatanya, offer. To which the Gemara says, well, one second, we have another braisa that says afar. So no, efer must mean efer, afar must mean afar. To which the Gemara says, come on, midi gabi hadadi tanya. Were these two items mentioned together? So take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, midi gabi hadadi taninu, tanya chada rabbi chia, v'tanya chada rabbi oshia, v'chada b'neo tayin le'efer b'loshen afar. So the Gemara just says, it's just quite possible that these brisos used these terms interchangeably, and one cannot necessarily derive any type of conclusive conclusion. So we'll say, so bottom line, here's what we know. Whether or not our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Yossi, that we're not sure. But one thing is clear, which it does reflect the view of Rebbe, which is that halacha lamaisa, one could go ahead and violate the malacha of lush. It sounds like what our Mishnah is saying is that halacha lamaisa, one could go ahead and violate the malacha of lush, even in the event that one just put two things together, even if they were not needed. They're both saying, now the truth is, we're going to see when we get to the malacha of lush, that one does not violate kneading, unless, of course, there is some type of mass that is produced. Simply putting stuff together does not violate the malacha of Losh. But remember, it's a little bit different over here in our Mishnah. We're not getting so hung up on Losh right now. The Gemara right now is getting a little bit hung up on Losh. So the Gemara says, well, this must reflect the view of Rebbe. So that might be true for the Mishnah, although for the Mishnah, we're not really getting hung up on specific malachas. What we're getting hung up on is the idea of, are you allowed to start processes on Erev Shabbos that you know will go into Shabbos? So again, the lines are drawn. Beis Hillel says yes. Beis Shammai says no. As kind of a side conversation, the Gemara says, wow, it's interesting that apparently you could violate the malacha of Losh without even needing anything and just placing ingredients together. That's the view of Rebbe, which works for the interpretation of the Mishnah, but I'm just telling you that is not the halacha lemaisa. Good. The Gemara goes right to turn around on. We'll see another interesting case. Poskin mayim legina erev Shabbos im chashecha. You can go ahead and you could open up an irrigation channel into your field late on erev Shabbos. So I want to say, so remember again, people would irrigate their field. You'd have like an irrigation channel or an irrigation hose. And what you would do is you would turn it on and you would flood the field, water the field. So now the Braisa says, you can do that erev Shabbos even if it's late. As long as you're doing it before Shabbos, you can start the process before Shabbos, even though it's going to continue into Shabbos itself. Ultimately, again, even though the field is going to fill with water the entire day. Now, I will say, obviously, watering your field on Shabbos is the malacha of Zorea. Is the malacha ultimately a part of the malacha of planting. So what do you see from here? You see from here that you could begin a process on Erev Shabbos, even though it is going to continue into Shabbos. Similarly, Umanichin Mugmar Tachas Hakelim Erev Shabbos, Umiskamim Vahochim Kolayam Kulo. Similarly, again, we'll say Mugmar is incense. So people used to want to go ahead. Rashi says, Lavona mine b'son nosin alaish. So interesting, people used to like to scent their clothing. So what would you do? You would burn incense by your clothing and you would endow the clothing with scent. So what says you can go ahead and you could begin this process on Erev Shabbos, even though it will continue into Shabbos itself. Umanichin gafris tachas hakelim. And ultimately, again, similarly, you could put sulfur underneath your garments as well. Erev Shabbos im chashecha, o miskafrin v'holchim kol ha-Shabbos kula. And ultimately, again, it could go ahead and become, I don't know what the right word is, sulfurated, filled with sulfur over the course of all Shabbos. I'm almost like, why would you want to go ahead and sulfurate your clothing? So Rashi puts out there something very interesting. Gafris, tachas, klei kesef, shemet sirein, baim prachim, b'tzuros, becheret, uma ashlam begafris. So we'll say, interestingly enough, Rashi says this isn't a din in clothing, but rather this was a din in utensils. That halacha l'maisa, if you have a silver utensil, and that silver utensil has etching, so halacha l'maisa, you would go ahead and if you burn sulfur by that silver utensil, the etching becomes a bit more pronounced. So if you wanted, this is for silver utensils, so you would sulfurate the utensils. So you could do that Erev Shabbos, and you could allow that process to run through Shabbos. Weiter, the Gemara says, Umanichin kilo agabi ha'ayin, v'ispalanas lagabi mako, Erev Shabbos im chashecha, umisrapas v'holechas kol hayom kulo. And similarly, you could put some ointment on your eye, or some ointment and a bandage on a maka, even the water bosai, the refuah, the healing, is going to continue through Shabbos. So what's the common denominator amongst all of these cases? Halacha lemaisa, you are going ahead and beginning a process Erev Shabbos. You're beginning a process Erev Shabbos, and it's going to continue through Shabbos. And yet the Gemara says that that is absolutely permitted. But what's interesting, what can't you do? You can't go ahead and put wheat inside of your water mill. So remember again, they would have mills that were powered by water. So apparently you can't put your grain in the water mill on Erev Shabbos and allow that mill to work through Shabbos. Rather, again, that whatever is going to be done in the mill has to be done while it's still daytime, before Shabbos starts. I will say, so why is that? I understand, based on what we just said, based on everything we just said, it appears to be that halacha lemaisa, as long as you began the process on Erev Shabbos, you can have that process continue through Shabbos. So if that's the case, why can't I put the wheat in the water mill? Why can't I put the wheat in the water mill and ultimately go ahead and have that process continue through Shabbos? So the Gemara says, so my time, so Amar Rabba mipnei shemashma askol. So Rabba says there's a difference ultimately. Why? Because of hashma askol. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the water mill would make noise. So because the water mill makes noise, halacha lemaisa, we don't want the noise happening on Shabbos. This is actually very interesting. So the Gemara is suggesting over here that halacha, if you look at Rashi, sheyitchunu mibaod yom, mipnei shemashma asakol, the water mill is noisy. Va'avsha milsa b'Shabbos, v'ika zelusa. And to have your utensils, to have your machinery making noise on Shabbos is something that is not right for the sanctity of Shabbos. This is actually quite fascinating. It's something we're going to have to spend a little bit of time on. But this incredibly fascinating yisod, that even those like Beis Hillel, who would hold that you can go ahead and begin processes on Erev Shabbos, even if they're going to go into Shabbos, would draw the line at things that make noise. So any process that will continue into Shabbos, but ultimately be a noisy process, the problem with that is, that's Zelusa de Shabsa of Shamilsa, the notion of having your malacha, your kelim, your utensils, doing malacha on Shabbos in a way that could be heard. That's something that profoundly detracts and is degrading to the sanctity of Shabbos. Amar Rav Yosef, Valeima Mar Mishum Shavis Askelim. As it says, Rav Yosef, but one second, what's going on over here? Meaning, at the end of the day, these things should be usher because of Shvi Saskelim. Rav Yosef, Shvi Saskelim means that the same way that I am obligated to rest on Shabbos, so my utensils are obligated to rest on Shabbos as well. After all, the Sanyo, Ubechala Sha'amarti Aleichem Tishmeru. So the pasuk says, "Ubechol asher amarti aleichem tishameru." Everything I said to you, you must go ahead and listen to. And I will say, now the Gemara is darshining. What does it mean? "Ubechol asher amarti." Everything I said, the rabbos shavis haskelim. That comes to include your utensils. The rabbos say, not only on Shabbos is there an obligation for me not to work, and not only on Shabbos is there an obligation for me not to work my animals, but on Shabbos there is also an obligation for my utensils to work as well. That my utensils should not do malacha. So the Gemara says, Ela Amar Rav Yosef Mishum Shvis Askelim. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Ela Amar Rav Yosef Mishum Shvis Askelim. So Rav Yosef says ultimately again that these things should be prohibited ultimately because of Shvis Askelim. I v'hashad the Amrit LaBeis Hillel is Lu Shvis Askelim. Then I will say, now here's what's very interesting. So just follow what's happening here for just a moment. So we just had a Braisa, and the Braisa indicated to us that there is a concept of Shavis Askelim. There is a concept, ultimately, of your utensils not doing work on Shabbos. That's what the Braisa said. All the Braisa said. And I will say, now we assume the Braisa is without attribution, and therefore we assume that the Braisa is in accordance with Beis Hillel, because Beis Hillel is normally, again, the majority dominant opinion. So now we're assuming that this Braisa that says that your utensils should not do malacha on Shabbos is in fact in accordance with the position of Beis Hillel. But one second. V'hashta da'amrit la-Beis Hillel is lu-shvi'es haskelim da'oraisa gafis umugmar mai taima sharu. So we'll say, let's work backwards. So now we're actually challenging the assumption we had from Mishnah. Again, we'll bring all of this together. But now that you're telling me that Beis Hillel in fact holds that halacha la-Maisa, Shvis Askelim, one's utensils should not do malacha on Shabbos. So, if that's the case, how can you go ahead? Gafrisu mugmar my time asharu. Why are you allowed to burn incense to give scent to your clothing? Why are you allowed to burn sulfur for your silver utensils? Why are you allowed to start those processes on Erev Shabbos and go into Shabbos, to which the Gemara says, Mishum Deloka Avin Maisa. So Beis Hillel will say that case is different, because they will say, when you go ahead and you burn the incense and you begin to burn that on Erev Shabbos, or you burn the sulfur, there's nothing actually happening on Shabbos, right? At the end of the day, there's nothing new that's occurring. Mishum Deloka Avin Maisa. To which the Gemara says, one second, Unin Shal Pishtan My Time Asharu, Mishum Deloka Avin Maisa, Minech Necha. Similarly, again, why does Beis Hillel allow you to take the, why does he allow you to take the bundle of flax and put it into the Arvan or Erev Shabbos, even though it's going to dry on Shabbos? Because at the end of the day, there is no Maisa that's being done. There's no action that's being done. Everything that is occurring ultimately, again, is passive. So when the sulfur burns, it's passive. When the incense burns, it's passive. When the flax is in the oven and is drying out, all of this stuff is passive. Aye, what about Mitzudas Chai Ba'of V'Dogim D'Gavin Mais? What about the cases of traps? Remember, again, according to Beis Hillel, we said before that what? That Halacha L'Maisa, you could set traps on Erev Shabbos, even though what? They're going to trap animals on Shabbos itself. So an act of trapping an animal, or assuming that's not passive, why Rabbi said, because the animal comes in and the trap closes. So there's activity on the part of the trap on Shabbos, to which the Gemara says, Hasam Nami Belechi V'Ku'u Belachi V'Kukri. So Rashi says over here, apparently again, what are we talking about? Fish hooks and baskets. So what used to happen is they would have like these stationary fish hooks where the fish would, you know, there'd be bait on it, the fish would swallow it. So the hook itself is already there. There's nothing closing on the animal. Similarly, again, they would have these baskets that were wide at the front, narrow at the end. The fish or the animal would come through and essentially its head would get stuck in the narrow part of the basket. So the idea is these are traps that are not actively doing anything, quote unquote, on Shabbos as well. We're kind of turning everything on its head a little bit, though we're going to do it again in just another moment. But according to what the Gemara is saying over here is, Beis Hillel really holds that mid the Oraisa, your utensils cannot do work on your behalf on Shabbos. And in those cases where it sounded like Beis Hillel was allowing Malacha to continue, that was only because it was passive Malacha. There was no activity that was occurring. Anything that was occurring in a state of passivity. So now we're going to turn it upside down again. No. Who is the one who holds that Shvisas Kilim is Dorais? Which means, who is the opinion that holds that your utensils may not do Malacha on Shabbos? That's Beis Shammai and not Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai is the one who says that your utensils cannot do work on Shabbos. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, holds that it is not a problem. As long as you began the process on Erev Shabbos, the process can play out on Shabbos itself, according to Beis Hillel. So if that's the case, LeBeis Shammai bein kavod maisa bein lo kavod maisa aser. According to Beis Shammai, whether your utensil is passive or active on Shabbos is irrelevant. You cannot have a process of malacha that is unfolding on Shabbos. I've said this is a yisodistic machlokas. According to Beis Shammai, no malacha can occur on Shabbos itself. And therefore, even if you started the process on Erev Shabbos, get it finished before Shabbos. According to Beis Hillel, that's Beis Shammai. No malacha could occur on Shabbos, even if the malacha is quote unquote occurring passively. The Beis Hillel, afa gav dika avid ma'isa shari. According to Beis Hillel, even if you have active malacha, which is occurring on Shabbos, halacha lemaisa, you are permitted to do it as long as what? Let me clarify this. As long as you are not doing anything biyadayim. So in other words, as long as I'm not doing any active malacha, if I started a process on Erev Shabbos, that malacha can continue on Shabbos itself, as long as I did my piece on Erev Shabbos. So the Gemara says, let's analyze. So according to Beis Shammai, now that we said that halacha l'maisa, even if you're not doing a maisa, right? Even if the malacha is occurring, quote unquote, passively, you're still not allowed to happen. Allowed to have it happen on Shabbos. Ihaki, if that's the case, I'm a Beis. You're both saying, I'm a Beis. It's a very interesting case here. Mugmar v'gafris, my time of sharo b'shamay. I will say, if that's the case, remember the brisa we quoted before was without attribution, which sounds like everyone agrees with it, which sounds like that even Beis Shammai holds that halacha l'maisa, you could begin burning incense on Erev Shabbos and scent your clothing over the course of Shabbos. Similarly, you could begin to burn sulfur. You could begin to burn sulfur on Erev Shabbos and sulfurate your silver utensils on Shabbos. That sounds like that is true, even according to Beis Shammai. But according to Beis Shammai, why should this be permitted? Beis Shammai sounds like any malacha, even passive malacha, should be asur on Shabbos. Or hasam malacha ara. Very interesting. What's the case in the Braisa? Where the sulfur and the incense is sitting on the ground. To both say, see, normally we assume what's the case of sulfur and incense that's burning. What did we all assume? Good. That it's sitting in a utensil. It's sitting in a utensil. So therefore, the utensil is doing malacha. To which the owner says, no. The case of the braisa is where the sulfur and the incense is just sitting on the ground. So there's no kli, there's no utensil that is doing malacha on Shabbos. What about the case of Gigis, right? Gigis, Vener, Kedera, Vishipud, my time, Asheru, Beishamai. So I'll say, what about the case Gigis? So I'll say, if you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says over here, Gigis, Shashechar, Besocho, V'efshar, L'shofcho, La'aretz, V'asorin, Nishorin, Kala, Shabbos, Yosem, Michas, Yamim, V'ashabbos, Bichla. So I'll say, listen to this. Apparently, the way they used to make beer is beer would ferment for a minimum of 8 days. Which means by definition, you always had fermentation taking place over Shabbos. So the act of fermentation is going to be a form of malacha also, as we're going to see. So how can you allow that to happen over the course of Shabbos? And similarly, again, if you kindled a candle before Shabbos, Rabosai, that candle, right, that ner, is continuing to burn on Shabbos itself. Is that not malacha? That's malacha that you began on Erev Shabbos and continues into Shabbos. Similarly, Rabbi say Kedera, you put up a pot of food before Shabbos, and it's going to continue to cook into Shabbos. According to Beis Shammai, how can you allow for such a thing like that? After all, at the end of the day, that's malacha continuing into Shabbos. Shipud, same with Rabbi say, you have food on a spit. You have food on a spit, you put it there before Shabbos. Isn't the spit engaging in the malacha bishul on Shabbos itself? So according to Beis Shammai, I don't understand. If you hold, Rabbi say, so just so you understand what's happening over here. If you hold that shvisas kelim, if you hold that your utensils must rest on Shabbos, which means that even if you began a malacha on Shabbos itself, it may not continue into Shabbos. So halacha l'maisa, how are all of these things permitted according to Beis Shammai? To which the Gemara says, demafkir luhu afkuri. We must be talking about a case where what? Where ultimately, again, all of these cases, you made the utensils ownerless. And because you made them ownerless, therefore, again, I will say the din of shvisas kelim only applies when the utensils are owned by you. But if they are ownerless, there is no problem for them to do malacha on Shabbos. Interesting. Man tanalo d'han rabbanan. Shabbos say, who is the opinion that is reflected in the five verses? Shabbos say, so according to the version we have now, just to understand what we're holding, according to where we are at right now, halacha l'maisa, Beis Shammai holds that there is a din of shvisas kelim. Even if you began a process of malacha on Erev Shabbos, that process may not continue. Your utensils cannot work on Shabbos. Whatever you're going to start on Erev Shabbos must finish before Shabbos starts. According to Beis Hillel, no, there's no din of shvisas kelim. I have to rest, my animals have to rest, but my utensils don't have to rest on Shabbos. Therefore, as long as I began the process on Erev Shabbos, it can continue even into Shabbos itself. So whose opinion is reflected in the following braisa? Lo simali ishek dira asas yos v'tor misin v'taniach l'soch hatanu Erev Shabbos im chashecha. So we'll say a woman should not fill up a pot filled with asasios and turmesin. Asasios and turmesin are types of lentils which requires significant cooking durations, right? You have to do it. You have to cook them for a long time. So a person should not fill up a pot with these type of lentils on Erev Shabbos and put it into the oven, even if she's doing it before Shabbos. Ve'im nasnan, and if she did it, l'matzei Shabbos asurim b'chtei shiyasu. She can't, right? You can't partake of them on Shabbos unless, of course, you wait the amount of time that it would take to do it after Shabbos. So Rabbi said, what this is saying over here is as follows. There's a couple of halachas being mentioned over here. So first of all, number one, what the Braisa seems to indicate to us is that what? That halacha l'maisa, you can't have stuff cooking on Shabbos. You can't have stuff, so you can't go ahead and put up the pot with these lentils Erev Shabbos, even though it's before Shabbos, if it's going to end up cooking over the course of Shabbos. And if you did so, you can't partake of it immediately after Shabbos. But after Shabbos, you have to wait what's called Bechtei Shiyasu. So we'll get into this. But the concept of Bechtei Shiyasu means as follows. If you inadvertently did a malacha on Shabbos, we don't want you benefiting from that malacha on Shabbos. In general, I woke up in the morning and I inadvertently made myself an omelet. So what's the halacha? I can't say, okay, no, I was a mistake. I'm going to do tshuva. But why should a good omelet go to waste? Chas v'shalom. So no, you can't eat that omelet on Shabbos. Not only that, but even after Shabbos, you can't eat that omelet immediately after Shabbos, but rather you have to wait what's called Bechtei Shiyasu, the amount of time that it would take to make an omelet after Shabbos. This way, you're not getting any malacha, you're not getting any hana, you're not getting any benefit from the malacha done on Shabbos. So again, so next case, Ki Yotzebo, Lo Yimali Nachtem Chavei Shamai Ve'anech L'socha Tanor, a baker cannot fill up a barrel of water and put it into the oven on Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos im Chashecha, right? Erev Shabbos before Shabbos starts. Rabbi said, now why would the baker want to do this? Remember again, the baker needs warm water to knead the dough after Shabbos. So he has a great chap. Let me put the water in the oven before Shabbos. Let it warm up over the course of Shabbos. And then I'll go ahead and simply bake with it on Matzei Shabbos. You can't do that. Baker can't do that. And if you did so, you can't use it immediately after Shabbos. Rather, you have to wait the amount of time after Shabbos that it would have taken to heat up that barrel of water. So we'll say, whose opinion does this reflect? Lema beishamai hi velo beisila. So we'll say, this apparently reflects the view of beishamai and not the view of beisila. To which the Gemara says, well, not necessarily, because remember, Beis Shammai holds that there's a din of Shvisas Kelim. Beis Hillel doesn't hold of that. Not necessarily. I feel a tam Beis Hillel. Gezerah Shemi Yechata Begichalim. Wow. Well, so now we're getting some interesting sugyas. It's possible, Abu Sai, that this even reflects the view of Beis Hillel. Because Beis Hillel holds that on cases, Abu Sai, where you are going ahead and putting stuff up before Shabbos on a heat source, there is a concern that you may stoke the heat source. Shami chata b'yicham literally means you may go ahead and stir the coals in order to accelerate the cooking process. So even Beis Hillel, who would normally hold that halacha l'maisa, there's no problem with your utensils doing any kind of malacha on Shabbos, would hold that where there is a concern that you may come to manipulate or accelerate the heat source, that's problematic on Shabbos. Again, if that's the case, mugmar v'gafris nami ligzar, but I don't understand. So therefore, why doesn't Beis Hillel say that you also can't scent your clothing or sulfurate your silver utensils? Isn't there a concern that you're going to come to go ahead and stoke the coals there as well? But remember, the act of stoking the coals is a din of havara, is a din of kindling, which is a malach on Shabbos. To which the Gemara says, no. Hasol amachti luhu, by the case of scenting or sulfurating, you're not going to come to stoke the coals. Why? Di machti luhu, because if you stoke the coals, salat bukutra, that causes smoke. The kashilu, smoke is not good for clothing and smoke is not good for silver. So in those cases, we're not really concerned that you're going to come to stoke the coals because the smoke generated by the stoking is going to be detrimental. I, unin shalpishtan nami ligzar. What about by the case of flax? Right, by the case of flax, the stalks of flax, I shouldn't be able to put it in the oven. Because even though there's not a problem with my oven working on Shabbos, but isn't there a concern that I may come to manipulate the coals and therefore violate Habara? Same idea. Kevan de kashilu zeka lo migle. But remember again, the flax was normally put in an oven and the oven was closed. A person is not going to open up the oven on Shabbos. Why? Because apparently the wind that would come into the oven is detrimental to the flax. I tsemer liyora ligzar. So we'll say, let's go back for just a moment. So now you're saying that according to Beis Hillel, there's a concern that a person may come to stoke the coals. So let's go back to the case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that according to Beis Hillel, you could put wool into a dyer's vat. You could put wool into a dyer's vat on Shabbos. So ultimately, again, why aren't we concerned that a person is going to come? That's also done with heat. So why aren't we concerned that a person will come to go ahead and stoke the fire source? To which the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel b'yora akura. We're talking about over here with a vat that is removed from the fire. Therefore, no concern about stoking. So why aren't we concerned that ultimately, again, that maybe he'll stir the pot, and stirring the pot could also be an issue of cooking, right? Especially if you go out and distribute heat. In the case of the dyer's vat, it's removed from the fire and it's sealed shut. Good. The Hashad Amar Mar Gezer Shamichat de Gicholim. So now that we said that there's a concern about stoking coal, so this is very interesting. So now that we said that according to Beis Hillel, ultimately again there is this concept that even if I'm not concerned at the end of the day regarding my utensils doing malacha, I am concerned with what? I am concerned with the stoking of coals, with a person manipulating the heat source on Shabbos to accelerate an act of cooking, and that is a malacha. Now that we see the Rebbe said, this is incredible. Hay kedei rechaisa shari la'anucha erev Shabbos in chashecha betanura. We'll say, very interesting. You are permitted to go ahead and put up a pot of raw food right before Shabbos. A pot of raw food right before Shabbos. Why? My time. Since that raw food will not be ready for the Shabbos night meal, asuchi mesich daite minei v'lo asi dechatuye gicholim. Ultimately, again, what's going to happen? So we'll say because it's raw right before Shabbos, it's not going to be ready ultimately again for the Shabbos Suda. So a person removes his mind from it and he's not going to come to stoke the coals. So we'll say what's happening over here is perhaps one of the most lenaisest sugyas of Shabbos. Again, the Gemara is going to talk about this more later on. We'll see this later on in Yiras Hashem. But I will say, but the idea that's happening over here is as follows. There is a concept, halacha l'maisa, of a concern of shemei yichata, that a person may come to go ahead and stoke the coals on Shabbos, manipulate the heat source to accelerate cooking. I will say, just so you should know, this is very exciting. I can barely contain my excitement for this. I'm not yelling it only because people in my house are still sleeping, but l'maisa, I will say, this is one of the most exciting sugyas. This is where the concept of blech comes from, all from here, of shema yichata. So what the Gemara is saying over here is, however, thank you, Shmuel, good. Right? However, halacha l'maisa, if you go ahead and put up raw food before Shabbos, so we'll say the concept of kedei rechaisa, a raw pot of food, says that what? Because it's not, this concept of shema yichata only comes with accelerating cooking processes. But for the cooking process, is not going to be done that night anyway, only by the next day, there's no concern of stoking the thing. Otherwise, we'll have to stop over here. I think tomorrow I'll probably begin the daf a little bit earlier in the Yiras Hashem so we can get through it. But we'll stop here. We'll pick up with this exciting sugya. Jeremy, can you send me a picture of who is online? I see today we only had about 73 people for daf, which means there are people who are starting to fall off the wagon. I'm going to have to start to make phone calls. So if you could just send me the list of everyone who was on, that way I could begin to reach out to those who may be occupied with other things. Okay, Maishin, we're still going to try. We have another day or so. We could try to still make Vasikin. Maishin's going to start.